Now let your light so shine before men so that they'll see your bad works. No, let me think of it. Let your light so shine before men, I think I got it, so that they'll see your bad attitude. No. Let your light so shine before men so they'll see your good works. What kind of works? You know what he's saying? He's saying, as we are a people of excellence, it reflects the God who is excellent, who lives through us.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. In the Bible, it was not uncommon for those who were in ministry to have full-time jobs elsewhere in the business community. You may not see yourself as a minister. You may say, I'm a carpenter or I'm a school teacher. But today, Pastor Wayne is going to show you how you're really a minister who just happens to make a living building homes or working for the Department of Education. But right before the message, we're going to join Pastor Wayne and the musicians for a few minutes of worship.
Hey, you know, yesterday I was at the Spirit of Aloha group, and a lady came and she said, this is my 7-year-old son. She said, when I went into prison, he was 2 years old. I just got out. Now he's 7. This is my daughter. When I went into prison, she was just a baby. She's 5 now. And she said, and I've come to this because it's something for the children of incarcerated parents. So my children are here and I'm with them and I just got out. So it's so good to be restored back with my kids. And she said, you know, we want to start off right. And we're looking for a church. Do you know of a church that I can go to? And I said, yeah, there's one that meets right here. She said, no, this is a school. I said, no, New Hope meets right here. She said, really, a church? I said, yeah, a bang-up church too, man. Really? She said, I'm going to come. I said, you're right on, woman, you're right on. But, you know, I thought, isn't God good to just orchestrate things like this? He loves us so much. Without us knowing, he's orchestrating all of these different things. Are you glad you have a God that orchestrates things well? How could I but love you, my Savior and my God? How could I but serve you when on the cross you were the servant of all?
My God.
reach out and take a hold of the person's hand next to you on either side. Lord, we come together as your children, a family called New Hope. Lord, we ask your blessings on the one on our left and on our right. God, give them a fresh anointing for this week ahead. Thank you for that. Now let your presence be strong among us as we embrace one another. Let it be your love we share. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's do that. Give a couple of people a hug, a handshake, and say, welcome to New Hope. Find a couple, would you?
Well, now that you've hugged the person in the car next to you, let's join Pastor Wayne for the message, Tent Makers by Trade.
Today I want to talk about why God has placed us at our jobs and our places of employment, our vocations. Why has he done that? Let me ask you, what do you think these people have in common? Their names are Dr. Hudson Taylor, Dr. David Livingstone, baseball player Billy Sunday, Coach Bill McCartney, attorney Chuck Colson, and then Elizabeth Elliott, a mother and a wife, tent maker Paul the Apostle, tent maker Priscilla and Aquila. See, what they have in common is that none of these are really pastors. Oh, they're full-time Christians, and through which God did wondrous things. But they all had one thing in common. They all had secular employment. Some were businessmen, attorneys. Dr. James Dobson is another. Hudson Taylor was a doctor that went to China on some mission trips, and God used him to bring a great revival. David Livingstone to Africa. Billy Sunday, a baseball player God used to speak to many, many people about his testimony. Coach Bill McCartney, Promise Keepers. Chuck Colson, as an attorney, you've heard about his books and how he shares. And James Dobson, Focus on the Family. Elizabeth Elliott, the wife of Jim Elliott, who was killed by the Aka Indians in trying to reach them. She took on the mantle, and God has used her in a great, great way. All of these have secular jobs or other jobs that provide support for them to do something of great importance. And it's beyond the job, for they understood that their jobs were a means to a greater cause and not an end in itself. These were housewives, mothers, and teachers. They worked, but it was not an end in itself. It was to support them to do God's work. Now, you might not be aware of the word tent maker. So at the top of our notes, let's find out where it came from. Now, Priscilla and Aquila were also teachers that went on mission trips with Paul the Apostle, who Paul the Apostle for 20 years did home groups, taught in small groups, started churches. He did many things through which God brought great, great advance to the kingdom. So let's read where it began. Let's read starting in Acts chapter 18, verse 2 through 4. Let's read it. Go. And he found a Jew named Aquila, his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them. He stayed with them, and they were, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews. And he reiterates this in 2 Thessalonians. Let's read the next one. Go. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that our expenses would not be a burden to anyone there as we preached God's good news among you. Paul traveled for 20 years. So how did he get his support to do what God has called him to do? Why, he stayed with Priscilla and Aquila, who were of the same trade, namely that they were tent makers. In other words, Paul and his companions, were a traveling band of merchants whose work, when they had to, was making tents, repairing them, and selling them. But their goal wasn't just to make tents. When they would have enough funds, they would preach, teach people how to follow Christ and how to live for him in their homes and in their places of work. They were called tent makers. And today my aim is to inspire you to look at your secular job or vocation the same way you'd look at it if God were to call you to be a tent maker in another country and reach those people for the gospel. That's where the term tent makers came from. You'll see that happen in missionaries today. Missionaries will do a job or a side job in order that they can do what is something they feel of a greater calling than the job itself. The job is a means, not an end in itself. There's others who, even in our own Bible college, they are students preparing for the ministry, and they are in a work-study program. They're called tent makers. And they are supporting themselves for a greater cause. And that job is not an end in itself. That's not the cause. There's a greater cause, to be ambassadors for Christ. You'll see that in churches across the seas. In fact, we oversee about 13 New Hope churches in the Philippines that we've planted. George Irinon oversees them from this church. And one of the churches called and said, we need more money to get these people into ministry. So instead of sending money over, George taught them how to make charcoal, where you take certain kinds of wood, you bake it, and then they would sell it. And from there, they would get enough support for these who would be going into the ministry. They were tent making. You'll see that in our interns here at New Hope, where they raise half of their support, and this church matches that. And so they are a tent maker in ministry. I did that for years. I was in Youth for Christ. We raised our whole support and doing a job, and then I would do ministry. So I did that for 7 years. Even through Bible college, I would pump gas or work in a photo shop. And was that my goal in life? No, that was a tent-making opportunity. There are others who have that kind of heart and mentality that can be very affluent, multimillionaires. And they ask God to bless their secular job in order that they can take a larger portion to advance the gospel so that people will come to know the Lord. They're tent makers. It's like they're a missionary in a harvest field. So what's a tent maker? A tent maker is someone who supports himself in another country or culture in order to make known the reality of Jesus Christ among the people who live there. These are people who truly believe that Christians ought to be engaged in thousands of secular jobs and vocations, but they believe that the product or service they render is secondary to the greater cause that really counts for eternity. A tent maker is someone who sees that money or notoriety or promotion, they are secondary means to what really counts for eternity. Tent makers. These are people who measure the size of a church, not by how many are inside of it, but how many are still outside of it. Because you see, it's easy to come to a church like this and look around and say, you got it all. You don't need my involvement. I'll just kind of come and observe. No, you see, you never measure the size of a church by how many are inside. You measure the size of a church by how many are still outside. Then you see the size of the church. Let's do some mathematics here. In the yellow pages on Oahu, there's listed about 1,000 churches in Oahu. The average size in the Hawaii Statistics Bureau of the Christian church here on Oahu, average size, you count them all up and average them out, 100 per congregation. So we have 1,000 churches, 100 average per congregation. In any given week, how many are in service on the weekend then? 100,000. Average-wise, counting tourists and military, we have nearly 1 million on this island. So if 100,000 are in church and you fill them all, how many are still outside? 900,000. Okay, let's double the congregations. No. Let's triple. Let's swell it to 3 times its size. Even should you do that, there are still 700,000 people that don't get into a church. Do you understand the huge harvest field that we're placed right in the middle of? That's why God says, lift up your eyes, behold, the fields are white for the harvest. He's placed us right in the middle. Now, how is he going to reach those people? Through ministers and reverends and pastors alone? No, it's through ambassadors for Christ who are tent makers in this harvest field. It's us. But we have to see it that way, otherwise we'll miss it. Then God says to us, okay, don't forget who you are. All right, Lord, we won't. But why does God give us these jobs? What is he asking us to do? What are we about? Let me give you four things that we're about, and you can write them in your notes. And then the first is this. Would you write down, number one, why has he put us where we are? First, the excellence of what we do expresses the excellence of the God we serve. Or it reflects the excellence of the God we serve. The excellence of what we do. He sees, God is asking us as Christians in the secular marketplace not to settle for mediocrity. Not to say, good job, got it, and I'm just going to hang on for the benefits till I retire and die. No! God is saying, improve your people skills, improve your attitude, improve your contribution, your ability to produce, your ability to work through problems, to be someone who's stalwart in integrity, to continue to increase your excellence. Why? You know why? Because we are to be a guide to others. A what? Let's read what Proverbs says. Ready? Go. The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. He's saying that we are a guide, and he places us in these places of employment, not for just the product that we can render or the service, but the people that we are and how we influence, because we are ambassadors for Christ in these areas. Now listen carefully. The Lord says, I want to reach these people, but I need your involvement. I need your involvement. For he says this, I'm going to shine a light. Now let your light so shine before men so that they'll see your bad works. No, let me think about it. Let your light so shine before men, I think I got it, so that they'll see your bad attitude. No. Let your light so shine before men so they'll hear us whining and griping. Nah, what was that? Let your light so shine before men so they'll see your good works. What kind of works? Good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. You know what he's saying? He's saying, as we are a people of excellence, it reflects the God who is excellent, who lives through us. They will glorify your Father. What kind of works? Good works. Not mediocre or bad, good works. In fact, he's saying, the more excellent of a people that we are, the more excellently we reflect his glory. That's what he's saying. In other words, God does not get any glory from bad work, bad attitudes, bad condemning, condescending Christians. But with excellent people, he is glorified. And he's placed us in these places of secular employment, not just for the service we render, but through that, an influence on the harvest. You say, but Wayne, you don't know how dark my company is. You know how dark the office is. You should be there one day. Well, you know, I bet it is. There's a lot of places like that. But you know what a friend who is an astronomer said to me one time? He said, Wayne, you know, in the darkest of space, like where the black hole is, there is as much light there as there is any other place. And I said, no. That's why it's called dark. It's dark. There's more light here than there. He says, no, you know, it's not the absence of light that makes it dark. Listen, he said, it's the absence of reflective surfaces. Like there's no planets. I said, well, planets were there, you know, then they'd shine. He said, no, they reflect the light of the sun. Many of them are just dead rocks. But when they're in there, they reflect. I thought, oh, that's it. You mean there's light there? Uh-huh. Light is traveling at 186,000 miles per second. Woo, 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 going right through there. But you don't see any light because there's no reflective surfaces because it's all absent. But when there's light there, all of a sudden you put in a reflective surface and what? Ooh, ooh, daylight. Ooh, no more. Ooh, daylight. Ooh, no more. Ooh, oh, light. Ooh, oh, more. Ooh, choke light. Ooh, every place get the kind, but. all of a sudden, it's shining. Well, what happened? Did you add light? No, you just added reflective surfaces. You remove those, light is still there, but it's dark. You see, even in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning, the world was formless and void, and it was chaos, darkness. But it said, but the Spirit of God, you read it, Spirit of God was hovering above the waters. In other words, even in the midst of chaos and darkness, the Spirit of God's light is still there. You know what he's looking for? Reflective surfaces. And that's what we are. We're the people of God that radiate his glory through our what kind of works? Good works. You see, some of us are involved, but our surfaces are too tarnished. We don't reflect very well. We absorb. That's all we do. We jump in to absorb more, bless me more, bless me more. We kind of go, ooh. And the Lord says, no, that's not what you're about. Some of us need to clean our reflective surfaces a little bit so that we shine a little more. We got to clean up so we reflect his glory a little more. Clean up attitudes, clean up our language, clean up some of the relationships we have so that we can, by our good works, reflect or glorify our Father in heaven. And that's what God is asking. He's saying, even here in Hawaii, there's going to be some dark pockets. That's why I put you there as reflective surfaces. You don't have to do any of the emanating. You just do the reflecting. I'll take care of the rest. But you keep your surfaces clean so that you can reflect my glory into the darkness. I'm there. I just need you to be a reflective surface. You are the salt of the world. Just don't let the salt lose its savor of its purpose or identity. Because if you do, you'll be good for nothing except to be trampled underfoot. Let your light so shine before men so they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. One of the things God's looking for and the reason he put us in these places of secular employment is so that we'll radiate his glory. That's all. Don't emanate, just radiate. His light's there. His heart's there. He's willing. And so the first is God is looking for people who will be willing to keep their surfaces clean so the excellence of what we do will reflect the excellence of the God who lives within us. And people will find a guide. That's why he says, look at Colossians 3 with me and let's read it. Go. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. Remember that the Lord is the real master you serve. Yeah, there's a greater purpose than the job itself. We are tent makers on this earth.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Tent Makers by Trade by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until the same time next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.